I have a message for you from the Lord, and I'm happy with you. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. Blessed are those whose sins the Lord will never count against them. Do you know those people? You are the people. You are the people. He says, for their sins I remember no more. Hallelujah. And if there is no conviction, there is no sanction. Hallelujah. There's somebody who paid the price. His name is Jesus. He took the curse because of us. He became a curse for us so that we can be blessing. And we can operate in the blessings of Abraham. He took our sin that we may become the righteousness of God. Jehovah is his name. He lives forever and ever. I want to welcome you to today. We start a journey today, a new journey. It is this month, 34 years that this church started from my little room in England, in London here. And it is this month, it is 40 years when Jesus appeared to me and showed me the revival that is coming in the United Kingdom, which is spread around Europe. And over the past 34 years, God had gathered this house, preparing this house for this season. And now, having God visited us so mightily last 2 weeks ago in our convention, what God had placed in my heart is now to sensitize you to the time and the season that you have entered into. In the past, the Lord had been saying to us, rain is coming, rain is coming, rain is coming. And then he says, now the rain is falling. We have entered into the rain for this house when the manifestations begin. And so, as we learned during the convention, the Holy Spirit told me to teach you about Matthew 24, when we looked at the prophecies of the end time. Now, there are some things that we need to carry over from there, because we looked at the prophecies of the end time, and we looked at globalization. We looked at, United Nations agenda for 2030. And we looked at the war of Ukraine, Russia invading Ukraine. We looked at the pandemic. And we looked at Israel war that started last year, October. And then we looked at also all the chaos and confusion happening in the the African northern region. And when we looked at the impact of this in the global economy, we looked also at the prophecies God has given us in this house before all these things began to happen, which we can see that the prophecies God gave us 2019 is now happening through all these events that happen. And we looked at the fact that in this house, God does not keep anything away from us that will affect us. And some of us have been so much informed by the visions of heaven that we have prepared before the crash came. That God told us that there will be, the interest will be going up. And he told us the exact month it will be going up. And some of us seized the advantage to fix our mortgages for 5 years, 10 years. And so now it's going up, we are not affected. We have more than enough. And we looked at all these things put together. And then I took you into how does the intellectuals of the world view it. And I took you to that because I wanted to show us how did Jesus say it. And we found out that all what the intellectuals are saying now are the very statement of Jesus Christ. He says, in the last days, perilous time will come. In the Matthew 24. And Jesus says that if that time is not cut short, the elect will not be saved. He said, but for the elect, it will be cut short. Are we getting it now? And when Jesus said that too, he spoke about wicked problems that will ensue or emerge. And the whole global intellectuals now are talking about wicked problem, and they are talking about how do we solve these problems, because the issue of Ukraine war, why should it affect Africa? It affects Africa because already the world is a global village. It affected the economy of Africa, India, everywhere. Why should an occurrence, sudden occurrence, in Africa, just spill over to the Western world and affect our interest rates or our inflation figures, is because we're a global village. But then, why should the church have knowledge of this? The church is a constituent of human beings who are social human beings. When these occurrences happen in the world, some people lose their job, and members of the church can be victims. Businesses in the church can be frustrated. Okay? Especially if the church businesses and the church people are not aware of where the world is going in the economy. And we can have bundles of people in church who are jobless and they can't find a job because they are not aware that the world has moved on. At the same time, the church must not move on with the world in the areas where they are moving on is contrary to the spiritual. And so I gave myself to studies of all this stuff so that I can bring you balance from the Spirit of God. And I told you, they call it wicked problems. The way they intend to solve it is through what they call cognitive reasoning. I explained what all those terminologies mean to you. But I said to you something according to the scriptures. I believe very much that, you know, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Then it says, "Darkness cover the earth and thick darkness over the people." So when you see thick darkness over the people and you see confusion in the world, then what about the church? The glory is resting upon you. But somebody has to instruct the church how to enter the glory. Or else you have people in church who are struggling for nothing. And I'm so happy that we serve the true God. Because before all these things happened, the Lord told me to start doing a write-up on what I call 21st century leadership. I haven't done great studies on impact, high impact leadership in Cambridge, and also did studies on sustainable leadership. And I looked at the Bible and I saw that, well, Jesus' fashion is 21st century leadership, which also includes sustainable leadership and high impact leadership, not exclusively to them, but includes, you know, Jesus' dimension of leadership for his children at this time, so that the wealth of the Gentile will move to the hand of the righteous, and the place of the righteous shall be established in the midst of the wicked, and the righteous can increase in knowledge, in power, in potency, in manifestation of glorious miracles, and also in prosperity. Because the end time church must be the prosperous church, the most prosperous church that ever lived on earth. That is the season you are living now. And so, the things I've been teaching you is this. Let me say this. You will agree with me. If anybody joins any institution, you don't dictate to the institution what their regulations are. Is that correct? So how could people dictate to the church what they should teach them? Check it out. But Jesus said it, that spirit will arise in this end time. So that some people will lean on, want to dictate to the church what they feel it should be. But you see, the institution of this world is not run by what we feel. It is just run by what is established before we joined it. And when we join an institution, we are compelled to just obey the regulations. And so, we in this house believe we are compelled to obey the scriptures. We are not to philosophize the scriptures. No, we are not to argue the scriptures. No, we come to the house of God because we want to learn from the God of the house. The one, the immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And if we are learning from him, it will affect our spirit, our soul, and our body. It will be a holistic message that will transform our imagination and our thinking. And it will have direct effects on the things that we do, and all the promises of the Bible will begin to happen among us. And that is what this house exists for. Now we have come to a new year. A year of promise, of power, and of wealth. I now have to sit down as your leader to look at where we are, which is the same thing I taught you. That after this convention, go and check, look at your business. Do account of your life as an individual. Look at your family. And look at all your achievements. Look at all your failures. And look at your activities that does not impact your life positively. Look at the things you are engaged in on a daily basis, but it's not giving you the accurate result and the result you expect to have. And then, rewire your system. Yeah? Sit down, rethink, rewire your system. And so we looked into governance and structure and policies. And so today, what I want to begin to take you through is the framework for Christ with Tabernacle. And I told you to do a framework for yourself too. Looking at your past life. We just finished marriage seminar, isn't it? And this marriage seminar is one of the unusual ones because in this marriage seminar, I did not talk about marriage in the world. I talked about marriage in the church. And I did not talk about marriage of experience of people. I talked about marriage in the context of the Bible. So that if any marriage is not in line with that, that marriage needs to just conform if you are a child of God there. So that we can get a better life. And those who are not married yet should not understand what marriage is before they jump into it. And also have template on how do you know who to marry, the right person to marry, so that you don't become a victim. And this is what we are looking at. A proper framework that can navigate through all the future complexities, regardless of what happens. Let's say that Russia sent a nuclear to England in the month of June. What will happen? What will you do? What about if they didn't send it here and they send it to some other European countries and you know the wind blows nukes and you have the effect in England? What will you do? So, it calls for rethinking. So you and I have to come to a place where we rethink. Now, narrowing down to Christ with Tabernacle, we have to do rethinking and rewiring our system. Those of you who are in my meetings during the convention, you have full details of that. You can get that on the YouTube if you missed it. Rethinking and rewiring our system. So, in this house, for a few minutes, I will take you through a journey of rethinking. But you now, when I teach you this, you apply it to your family. Okay, do the same thing at home. Look at your family and look at the whole episode of your family and rethink. And then maybe there are some things you need to shift. Maybe there are some things you need to readdress. Maybe there are some behaviors you need to take out. Maybe there are some ways that you need to address one another or you know, so that you can come into harmony to get things done. Because either you like it or not, if you come to this house, you must prosper. You must prosper. No money doubler. I mean, head. You must be smarter than this world. Smarter than the devil. So that you prosper. Okay, so I looked at the church and what we used to do. And I discovered that we need to just go back in some areas to do what we used to do before. Those things that we're going back to are the things we used to do before. The things we used to do before. But we got engaged in other things and we're so busy in them. And of course, it's of God. We have attained a height on earth. I just told them in New Cross. CFT started officially in All Saints Church, just opposite the New Cross Church. But in that small New Cross place, the church has gone to the ends of the earth. Name it. Asia, we are there. Our church is in India, in Himalayas Mountain. We built the first church in the history of India on the Himalayas Mountain. And I can say that proudly. Because Himalayas Mountain, they don't give anybody land there. How did God do it? God had to convert a senior person in Hinduism. He got saved. His son got saved. The family got saved. And this guy is influential. I went to do a crusade with him. And he said, Apostle, why don't you build a church for us here? Alright? And before we know it, a place where government will not approve a church we build. They will not approve an Indian person from another side to buy land. By the next time I came, we gave. We sent it to Pastor Qatar, and a church is built. In the Himalayas mountain, you have some spikes there. You have Hindu temple here. You see another peak mountain, Hindu temple. Another peak of mountain, Hindu temple. But you know, in the midst of Hindu temples now, you see Christ with tabernacle. Hallelujah. A shining light that will light the whole nation. Yes. Amen. And this house has gone to places. You know it. From this place, New Cross, this place was brought to be. From New Cross, we have ministered across the universe. God has taken us to the corridors of powers of those who rule the world. Presidents of nations have come to your midst. Authorities have been known by you. Without anyone connecting anything, but the news spread and God established himself. So now, the season we are now is that God is taking you all to the higher heights. The oil that is poured upon the head flows to the collar. And so I want to say this to you. You might have struggled for some time enough. You have come to the place now on earth that struggle should stop. Amen. All right? You will glide on the wing like eagle. Amen. I'm telling you. I know where I'm going. I have seen where I'm going. The Lord has taken me to my home in heaven. I have stood in it, walked in it, with the angels of God in heaven. I testify not of what I imagine. If somebody feels his imagination, that's a better imagination than nightmares. Heaven is real. It's just around here. And so I testify to you what God of heaven has said. That the days of your struggle, O Christ, for tabernacle is over. Amen. I say the days of your struggle is over. Those of you who have labored in tears, your time has come to reap in joy. Amen. Let me help you know something. When heaven speaks, art must respond. In the song you were singing when I was coming in, that is just it. Speak to nations, be open. Powers of darkness are vanquished. Let me say something. The Lord had promised us two things for this end time move. And so that is the reason why we have to look at our structure again. Christ with tabernacle structure. Can you put that on the board for me, please? CFT structure. If you attend this church, you need to know what is the vision. No, that's not it. Go to the mission, the first page. I want somebody who knows about PowerPoint to handle that. Just go to the first page and press first page, not the first page. Go off this completely on your PowerPoint. All right? So that you have it. And go to the first page. The first page shows mission statements. I want somebody who knows about PowerPoint to handle that section. So, we'll be looking at church structure. And when we look at this, I'm teaching you to help you also to understand what you will do when you leave here. How you will apply it to your family, I will tell you. And at the end of this meeting, I will answer some questions on marriage that was posed to us. But tonight's meeting on the Zoom, I will dedicate it to answering volumes of questions on marriage. Because it's quite interesting, the questions people are asking on marriage. Are you true here? Pastor, you are the one who should be on there. The person who was there should stand up, please. Just handle it for me. So now, therefore, when they put the church structure on the board, I'll teach you. There are two things that governs sanity of man. And the two things that govern sanity of man amount to what is called good governance. It governs sanity of nations. It governs sanity of businesses. What I'm teaching you, you can apply it to be, if you're a person who have a projection to become the CEO of your company, easy route for you when you do what I'm telling you. If you're a manager, you want to become a director, you do what I'm telling you, it's easy. Because see, the Bible is so vast. It's not just prayer. There are also principles taught by the Bible. Are we together now? So good. So, governance, therefore, is the process by which an organization can run purposefully, and attain their ultimate aim, that is governance. And I remember I told you, there are two governance, primary governance and secondary governance. The primary governance is done by those who are the owners of an organization, like shareholders or trustees. Let me say, those who are responsible to the government concerning the running of the operations. Like the father and the mother in the house, they dictate the primary governance. Like the shareholders of the company, not the directors. But the directors of the companies are the people who see to the day-to-day management, and they determine the secondary governance. But I told you something. For governance to operate, there must be a structure. A structure and also policies. Oh, did we come to church to be educated? Yes. Yes. Let me give you this. When Jesus Christ came out in the book of Luke chapter 4, you may not go there, just stay where you are. No, go to the mission statement, please, and don't move from mission statement. When Jesus came to the earth, if you read the Bible, and I want to go and read it again, I want to check whether what I'm saying is correct. Jesus Christ, we heard little about his growing up, except for when he was 12, when he went to the temple, and, you know, he was arguing with the intellectuals in the temple, at 12. Then we heard of him when he was baptized, and that's from chapter 3. But when Jesus went to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, what happened? The Bible tells us that John said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth, the whole world. And then, haven't he been baptized? I'm just summarizing that. He was led by the Spirit in chapter 4 into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Chapter 3 rather. 40 days and 40 nights. When he returned from the temptation, in chapter 4, the Bible says the news about him spread. Okay? So when the news about Jesus spread, the next thing that happened, if you read down that chapter 4, he began to teach and began to perform miracles. He began to teach and perform miracles. And the more he performed the miracles, the news spread. And when the people come, he teaches them. Why would Jesus commit himself to teaching the people? Because for anyone to be a disciple, you have to go through three processes of things. You must be informed, you must be educated, and then you must be released or empowered. So, but when Jesus was teaching, he was just all over the place, teaching people all over the place. Some are following him, many are coming and stuff like that. He had a big church and everybody was... But in Luke chapter 6, that is when the ministry began. But for the ministry to begin, Jesus went to the mountain. Luke chapter 6 says that. Okay, you can be putting the scriptures there, leave this, I'll come back to this mission. I want you to see, I'm talking about policies and structure. Jesus has so many people coming, but his intention is not for the crowd. Because the Bible says when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without shepherd. He didn't come to pull crowd. He came to disciple people, to win people back to God. That is his mission. To save people from Satan, from sin, to God. But how can they be restored to God if they do not understand who God is? So now, to now start his church, he prayed all night in chapter 6, and he came down with a template from the Father, and he appointed the 12 apostles. The Bible says he appointed the 12 of disciples and designated them. I love the word designated. He designated them as an apostle, as apostles. 12. Okay. But then if you look at Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, chapter 9, he sent these 12 out, gave them power and authority. After training them, they saw what Jesus did. Jesus said, go and do what I did. And they did it. Okay? They came back. They were happy. The rest of the church was saying, oh, wow, these guys are privileged. Jesus has to do that because in structure, you must distinct, roles of people. A good structure without good policies, it leads to frustration. If anybody don't know his role, everybody can be director in your company. You're going to get stressed. You may employ people at the same time, but after time, you begin to distinct them and promote some people over other people because they are more qualified, more competent. But in the place whereby all are levelers, you have stress in your company. The same thing in church. If you see somebody who is so warm to visitors, that he has so much gifts, love radiates through him, and you put him to lead choir or to singing choir, he's a wrong cap. That guy should be put there, out there, to boost our image. Or somebody who does not know, have good sense of tonality, and because he's so committed, you make him to come and lead praise and worship, all of you will not pass this ceiling. Not because he's not anointed, but you are using a wrong man for the right thing. It's a square peg in a round hole. So Jesus has to distinguish between those who he will hold for primary governance and those who he will give the right to run the administration, and they are in charge of the secondary governance. So we have the 12 established. If you look at the whole Bible, it is out of those 12 that wrote all the epistles, even to Revelation, which had become the fundamental for Pentecostal movement, or the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, not just Pentecostal movement. All right? But then you see, he sent the 72 as well, who is the church. And the 72 came back. They did the same thing that the apostles did. So every one of you in church should know this. I always say this to you. Anything you see God do through me, he can do through you. Is that not my statement? He can do. And many of you have experienced the same thing. The Lord appeared to me, he can appear to you. And some of you have followed it and you have encountered Jesus. Even when I was coming out of Cathedral on the New Cross now, somebody came to me and told me another revelation that she had. Somebody called me in the week and told me the revelation that she had over the church. Another one came and said, what the Lord revealed to him. And these people don't know themselves, but they are saying the same thing. I'm the one hearing, and the common denominator among them. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus did not create the priesthood and separate them from the flock, so that to the priest he reveals himself like in the time of old, but to the flock he says nothing. No, that's no Christianity. That is no Christianity. One of the fundamentals that Jesus established is Mark 16:17. If we read that together, it says, and these signs. Okay, we read together. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, who is he talking to? Full stop. Anyone who believes in him. The church, not pastor, not apostle, not bishop, not pope, not Saint Teresa. Look at one of the other governors of Christ in the book of John chapter 14 verse 12. We'll read it together. Shall we? Okay, we'll stop. I can't hear people reading over there. You know something? Whenever you read the word of God, you help yourself. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who read aloud the word of this world. You see, the reason why many Christians miss blessing is because they don't understand scriptures. And the principle of scriptures, you are reading the word of God, the Most High, and you are not conscious of what you are doing. Can you imagine that? If they read the judgment over you in court, and police gave you to read the judgment, nobody will teach you not to read it. You will read it with all alertness, because what is written there, as you read it, police is acting upon you. And this is stronger than police. The God of heaven wrote word and told you to speak. You are saying you don't hear God. When he's talking now, you are not reading. How can you hear? Abby? Eh? Shall we read the word of the living God together? I tell you the truth. Stop. Do you have faith in God?
Yes.
So you can do what Jesus did. He didn't say after you have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. No. No, he fasted, but you have faith. Jesus didn't want your fast. He wants your faith. And obedience too. Come on, let me take you on the ride. I was preaching in Lagos sometime. And people were so many. And you know, God is so humorous. And the Holy Spirit said that somebody is here who has a child that is crippled. Two hands went up. I said, which one? God said, it's the one that brought up the girl. The other hand went down. So if God said it's crippled and he wants to heal the cripple, so what ought I do? Bring that child out. And they put the child there. Right in the front. And the child was sitting down there. And everybody was looking at the child. Because the child was badly crippled. From this part of the body to the toes. A lifeless, slim, dry. It looks boneless too. Crippled by polio. And the two legs flapped like that. So the heart of those who were there, like your congregation, is we will see how this will happen today, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm helping you understand the scenario of this scripture. So, I continue to preach. What was I preaching on? The sovereignty of the name of Jesus. And so, I walked away, as I do, and I keep preaching. They look at me. And suddenly, as I was walking away, talking about the miracles of Jesus that he did in the book of Mark, the unction of heaven rested upon me, and I turned to the girl that was on the floor. Rise up in the name of Jesus, and the power of God bouncing like a football. Like when you bounce this basketball. Rise up in the name of Jesus. He pulled him up. He pulled her up. The third time I commanded, without anyone touching that child, all of us saw. The word became flesh. The word of God picked that child up, brought that child up, shook the child, and the child ran. The two legs grew and expanded at the same time. The place was flooded. That is what is called faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone can do it. Every Christian can do it. If you don't expect it, how can you get it? Even if you don't know it, how can you expect it? It is amazing to the people, but it's not amazing to Jesus. Because you already said it. I tell you the truth. Nothing but the truth. The truth. Nothing but the truth. Where do you get your affidavit from? And the statement of your affidavit, which is called a true statement, is it not from what Jesus said? But is your affidavit not valid? Then this is more valid. Your heart to the word of God must recognize the sovereignty of the God who wrote it. He says, if you have faith in me, come on, get do it. And you can do it. Today, I put you into structures. And the children and the youths will begin to exercise their authority in this building. In this building. We don't come here looking for miracle. We come here looking for Jesus. If you got Jesus, you got miracle. If you find Jesus, you become a miracle worker. You only need to let him live inside you. I can give you many, many more scenarios. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will also do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to my Father. I love the next verse too. He says, and shall we read together? And I will what? Do. That's right. The reason why Jesus will answer you is because Jesus wants to glorify the Father. That's it. Do you have business in it? Only faith. Only faith in him. But you know, those who live in glass house, don't throw stones. And Jesus said, by their fruit, we will know them. You cannot continue in sin and expect what? Grace to abound. And someone came to CFT, or some people came to CFT, and they said, the apostle is too regulatory. Oh, so sorry. So sorry. I just got to do it. I'm mandated to be regulatory. You know, in it. In it. And the regulation binds me as well, isn't it? I didn't regulate you and I'm a loose dog. Huh? You didn't hear that apostle says, don't do this, and apostle is doing it. Somebody wants to know how I see Jesus, how God reveals angels to me, how I prophesy among you those things that will happen to date and time, and they happen. That is the way. There's just no other way. It's either you decide to follow the way and encounter, or you follow your ways and don't get nothing done. Someone says that church is too regulatory. Yes, you have come to be regulated. Say amen.
Amen.
There are two powers that rule in the world. The prince of the air and the spirit of the Most High God. Nobody is in the middle place. It's either you're on that one or the other. And the Bible is so clear. Jesus said, go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey all I have taught you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of age. Any place, any church where the people are not taught what Jesus taught them, Jesus cannot be there. It's only noise. Preach on. Hey, ah. Useless times useless, multiplied by useless, is infinitesimally close uselessity. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Please bring the husband here. Why are you waiting them to be? Put your hands together for the husband and wife. Sister Sandrisco, my beloved daughter. Look at, she's working like a queen. She is really more than queen. Come and sit down here. You are the chair lady and the chairman. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Please, you're welcome, sir. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Yes, that's my daughter. I'm proud of her. Even this agili, it looks like a rainbow or like sunshine. Which one shall we call it? Amen. Forevermore. Brother Matthew, I congratulate you. But my eyes not taking to. But I can't stop her. She has to go. My prayers are answered. But we will all fly there. They've told us Australia is not too much, it's not too far. Just close your eyes, open your eyes in Australia. if that blink of eye will take you 24 hours or 36 hours, we will be there. Thank God for them. Their wedding yesterday broke me loose into heavens. Something I've never done in wedding before was done yesterday. And I recognize God told us, this is a new year. 40 years Jesus appeared to me for the revival of United Kingdom. You are part of it. You're part of it. And so, Jesus said, go and make what? Disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And doing what? Teaching them to obey what? Excuse me, let's read that scripture together. And now listen to me. What instruction did God give, Jesus give the church? To teach, isn't it? He didn't say to discuss. So any minister is not qualified to teach, you resign. If you don't know the word of God, how can you be an instructor of the word of God? That's the reason why in this church, we don't ordain people because they are commissioners. It's a different thing for you to be a prime minister. Give Rikishuna this scripture. He doesn't understand it. Because that's not how. You are called first, then groomed, disciples too, and then before release. So in this house, we have this three cardinal point operation. To make you successful in life, we inform you, we educate you, and we mentor you. And it works. Many of you can testify. And then we also do what? Build you up, equip you, and release you. So you get ready for the harvest of souls of this world now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to submit to the regulations of the kingdom. There are two kingdoms. One kingdom is the kingdom of the prince of the air. Ephesians chapter 2, very quickly we'll read this. And you see what rules there. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to work, when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work, in who? In who? You know, there are two words in this very verse that are so powerful. The first word that is powerful is in verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead, that is you and I, in transgressions and in sins. We were dead. We needed a savior. We needed someone to deliver us. We couldn't deliver ourselves. Why? Because of the next verse, we lived worldly, dressed naked when we should clothe ourselves. Women exposed their breasts, exposed their bum, exposed their laps. What is private for them to be cared for their husband, they advertise it freely on the motorways, in the marketplaces, almost stripped naked. Even now, some have advanced in these ways to the place whereby they go to the beach naked. We went to Miami, and we were just strolling on the beach. And we got to a place, somebody ran up and said, stop. I said, oh, stop what? Why? He said, don't go past that place. We saw the sign, but we don't know it. He said, why shouldn't we go? But he said, look at it. The nude people. That's the first place I first had it. He said, that place is for those who are nude. They don't wear pants. For me to when he said nude, I was first thinking that, okay, maybe they have some bikinis as they do their bikini stuff. You know, those things came from the devil. When you wear that to the public. And so he said, no pants at all. I said, Jesus, I'm worried. I collected my wife. I asked the man that, are you sure? He said, go and look at her. Oh my God. You know what I said, Jinasagbowori? What I mean is far from the madding crowd. You see a crowd of mad people, they are coming like this, and you want to go and protest with them. When you get to their meeting, they say, you are not like us, you are the first. They will take it on. Naked. Huh? But then, after many years, I saw in London, just recently, 3 years ago, some people riding bicycle naked to the Parliament of England. My eyes have seen. Excuse me. Why are they so? They are under the prince of the air. Every reckless thoughts, recklessness come from the prince of the air. Let me tell you. There are people call culture, they call, culture, isn't it? They talk about also social. It's social, you know? It's a pity. You know, some years ago in England, if a man puts on earring on the left, we know who he is. He's a gay. That's how we identify them. And they identify themselves by it. But people don't understand. The practice came from Satanism. And that sect emerges from Western witchcraft. My father was a mystic. I'm not telling you what I thought. I'm telling you what I know. In England, I've dealt with Brighton witches, Caucasian witches. They came to me when I was a Baptist pastor telling me all this stuff they do. And they came because the priestess wanted, he was fed up of Satan. And he looked for my pastor who is from Aracas. It's a white man. And his name called him. And said, I'm a witch. And I don't want to be anymore. And my pastor said that, I have a son of a wizard here. Who can help you? I don't know about it. Because his own is missionary all his life. His father was missionary. His grandfather was missionary. Witches. How can I help a witch? I don't know. He said he's sold from Africa. So the woman said, okay. He's an African man. He must know it. And I came. And she sat with me. She's not under any spell. She said, let me tell you who I am. She told me when the whole meeting in London. She told me their joints in Elephant and Castle. Some addresses. I said, if I want to go Friday, I should go there. I can enter. And I went to look, and I saw people wearing black, witch on their front, wizard at the back. And they were entering this that house, the hall, like you are going for night vigil. They to do night vigil in London. When we talk of witch, somebody saying that it's a witch, it's Africa. It's not Africa. The word witchcraft is not Yoruba language. Neither is it Urubu. I looked at Ibo. I didn't see. I looked at Swahili. They didn't see witchcraft there. Everybody have the name for it. Witch and craft is English, isn't it? But it's not a craft, it's a devil. And so, you see, we know they do that. But suddenly, it became a culture for men. And now it has graduated to men putting on 2 earrings and call it what? Fashion. Fashion. Let me tell you this. Satan don't care what you think. I talk to you as a son of a wizard. You may not believe. You put in the articles of the devil, it will strike your life and destroy it. Nobody can pray for you. Nobody's prayer can have any credence over you. Nobody's prayer can, because every kingdom is regulated. If you break regulations, you are a convict. That's just what it is. The reason why some life of people are just messed up and bamboos is because they don't understand. And yet some people come to church and say, when you tell them those things, they say, you know, I don't want to be regulated. Church is not for you. Salvation is not for you. If you don't want to be regulated, go to where you will not be regulated. And I tell you, I can assure you, you will not find it in this planet Earth. You won't find a place of no regulation in this planet Earth. Similarly, with the plaiting of hair of men. Men plaiting hair, they think that it's fashion. Give me some gold priest there. Yes, put it in the internet. Let them see. A man plaited his hair. Could you see that man?
That man has existed. He was the Sango was the first king of Oyo's kingdom. He commanded the boys who are shrine boys to pluck their hair like this and put earrings similar to the goddess in India. But both of them are called Asherah. You have to read, man, and understand. Somebody whose hair is smooth. Look, Brother Matthew, stand up. Look at the hair of this man. If when he came to me, and she told me about him, and his hair is like this man, I would have told him in his face, not my daughter. Not my daughter. Sit down, Debra. Let me tell you. Somebody have asked for a hand in marriage before. Dad, I want to bring this man to you. I said, bring him. The man came. I told her straight away, this one, garbage. No. The following week, she told the man, gone. And the man was begging. He said, no begging, no. You cannot marry her. Period. Because God told me you are not the one. You are not the one. The father invested on her. I saw her grow in my hand. I invested my life on her. All my assets in life. She became a lawyer. And only to be bankrupt by a husband. Never. A man who behaves like a woman is a sissy. Oh, yes. That's a sissy. I wanted to say something, but you can't understand it. It's God who made me, they born me first in Nigeria before he Britishized me. I will say it. Yes. I have English meaning of it. You know, when you look at Spiro Jara, when you look at a dead pond, a pond that doesn't flow out, you see Spiro Jara on it, and it wiggles, isn't it? It wiggles. Okay. Do you know why Spiro Jara wiggles? Underneath the pond are deaths. They gave birth to Spiro Jara. So in my language, they said that the Spiro Jara that is dancing on the pond, his drummer is beneath the pond. You don't understand what I just said. I just spoke in tongues. Excuse me. This is Sango priest. Any man that plots here, this is the person you are inviting. Your dream, you will find him. You go, you want to do something, road will block. You labor, they'll be looking at you. You mouse where something will happen, tragedy will follow. That's what this thing attracts. Go back to my Ephesians, let me show you. Church, this scripture in Ephesians says to us, as for you and I, we were both dead in the world. Dead sinners, reckless, we love to sin, we drink sin. Joint it from today, wasting your life and money, sleeping with all manners of people. If a stone can breathe, some can have sex with stone. And they collect so many devils in their body, defiling their temple. At the time they want to settle, those demons begin to appear that you cannot, we are parties. And then they begin to look for help from one place to the other. That will not be your portion. Affliction of all kinds, sickness, infirmity of all those stuff. You can preserve your body only by Christ. By Christ. It says here. In which we used to follow when we are in the world. Ways of this world. The ways of this world. The ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That is a kingdom. So if you are not a child of God, believe it or not, you have been regulated. Someone says that, no, the regulation in that church is too much. If the regulation is a sane regulation, and it is a good standard of morals, I think it is more beneficial at the end of the day. Come on, let me say this to you. The reason why anybody not born again cannot accept such instruction of the Bible is because they are still under the Spirit. Because it works in every disobedience. That Spirit comes upon a man. He wants to disobey rules. When I was studying jurisprudence, I read about some stories about how morality was redefined in the United Kingdom. You can go and Google it. Anybody who studied law in England will remember what I'm saying, talking to you. Formally, it started from description of a common man in Clapham Omnibus. Reasonable man. When we began to move from king rules into community ruling, when House of Commons was born, it's just reasonable man. and reasonability was well equated. And some time came, secularism invaded our country, United Kingdom, and the definition of morality began to change, even in law, to the place where law cannot understand what is moral or immoral, because it is subject to the generation that defines it. And so, all unrighteousness now have been legalized. All unrighteousness. Sodomy was in the law book of England. It doesn't exist anymore. It is there, but it's none greater. And sodomy was well defined. Alright? And I can tell you many laws, especially when we now came out of European Union, and now we are now alone, we are British Union. I mean, so you must be regulated. If you don't regulate yourself, if you don't follow church regulation, you follow the world regulation, and the end of it is hell. Because your activities will prove by itself. Now let me show you something here before we close. It says these spirits are working those who are disobedient. So anywhere you see the act of disobedience, why are you worrying? You know what is in charge. Anyone under that reign is not free. Not by his own will, but by the will of the Spirit that frustrates the whole world. So, how can we get out of it? For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that scripture says, for God did not send his Son to the world that he may condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Can you get it up for me? Thank you. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world to save through him. And the next verse says, for God so loved the world. Okay, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But look at this. Shall we read it together? But whoever... That is a way of escape. Satan impoverished my generation. My grandfather was a grandmaster. He was a graduate of Ferriby College in 1865. He died in 1911. My father was a mystic, abused by the devil, until Jesus found my father. My mother was a priestess of Baal and the daughter of the first chief imam of Abulefo in Nigeria. Until for my sake to be born, Jesus revealed himself to my mother. I cannot take it easy on the devil, because I know the end of following him or his ways is hell. But I say this to you, there's another kingdom. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's look at that first. I'm almost finishing now. Shall we read it together now? For he has rescued us. Hallelujah. God rescued me. God rescued me. From where? Dominion of darkness. That's why you and I have been going on mission field in India, in Africa, destroying all this nonsense they call gods. When we enter Jebu land, there was fire. Destroying, enter into their forbidden forest. We bought their forbidden forest. We are building Jesus City there today. The forest where our workers went into it, we're getting skeleton of human beings that they have been sacrificed in that place. What is forbidden forest? I have not only shown you the scripture, I proved it among you, and you are proofs of it. That all these things they call power are nonsense. You were my crusades when all these fetish men came, and when I mounted the pulpit, they were shaking like leaves. Some of you are victim of it. You were there, some of you, when they sent a bird to kill me, and I commanded life after the bird, and the bird came down dead. You were there. Jesus walks. Jesus walks. In June, we are heading for Cote d'Ivoire. Hallelujah, somebody. Devil will smell pepper. You and I are going. Any Christianity different from that, to me, is not Christianity. Jesus rescued us. There is no such a thing as, they are pursuing me in my dream. You to pursue them. What you carry that they are pursuing, drop it. Hallelujah. Jesus says the prince of this world came to me, he found nothing. We have been rescued from dominion. Anybody who accepts Jesus Christ has been rescued from dominion of darkness and translated to the kingdom of God, his son, whom he loves. Go straight away to the next one, chapter 2, verse 13. He said, when we were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ, forgave all your sins. So when you accept Jesus Christ, he forgives all your sins. Because you have been rescued from dominion into kingdom. Hallelujah, somebody. I love God. He is true. I love Jesus. He is the true God. Then the next verse says, shall we read together, please? I can't hear you loudly. He did what? The other translation says, haven't canceled every covenant. Whether you took covenant with the devil, your father took covenant with the devil, from the day you are saved, that covenant is finished. I'm so happy I have lawyers, a lot of them among you. When a new covenant that is a stronger covenant is taken, it overrides the old covenant. The old covenant may still be there, but the new covenant persists. But the old covenant has no credence. And the covenant of the blood of Jesus is more powerful than the covenant with Satan. You don't need to pray about covenants. You only need to accept Jesus Christ, and the old covenant is defunct. If you are struggling in the old covenant and you say you are a Christian, maybe I need to help you know who Jesus is. Hallelujah, somebody. So, he says here, all the covenant that stood against and opposed to us are taken away on the cross. And the next verse, shall we read together, please? 15. Haven't disarmed. And that's why I love the song that the choir sing. We sing to nation be. Is there a revival going on? Kingdom is. Put your mouth in your microphone. We speak too strong.
Be free. together for the living God. Nations shall be free through you. I say nations shall be free through you. The devil can turn some people upside down, but yet you will be the only shoot of God that can never be moved. This world cannot be taken by the devil when we are still on earth. We will send him out of the nations. We will not compromise with the devil. I told you, the kingdom of Satan is regulated by the devil and demons of hell. The kingdom of God is regulated by God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all his holy angels. Those who belong to the kingdom of God don't behave like civilians. They don't follow the path of this world. That is the evidence that they are truly born again. If anybody gravitates towards the love of the world, the Bible tells me that he's not saved at all. If you go to a church where they tell you that you can dress anyhow, you can behave anyhow, you can do whatever you like, they are champion leaders leading you to hell. Many bishops and popes and pastors and apostles are in hell. No, because the way of the Lord is different from the way of this world. If Jesus only came to save you so that you can be sleeping yourself naked in the streets of London, then I wonder which Jesus you are talking about. So that your dressing appearance, there is no difference between you and the one who is a crook. I wonder which Jesus is the one you're talking about. Jesus says, by their fruits you know them. Anybody tells you different, may he be accursed forever. They are false prophets in the old time. Sent by the devil to shipwreck human life. They have no connection with heaven. They have no experience of God. They have no contact with the supernatural. Let them tell us what will be of nations and let it come to pass. But here, I tell you what will happen in UK. I tell you what will happen in America. I tell you what will happen in some nations in Africa, date and time, and they are so. That is evidence that God is here. And celebrate it. Let people know that we didn't get to recession. We didn't follow England to recession. We knew about recession the day, the month it will happen, and we fixed our mortgages. And now we are enjoying it. Because God said in our midst, be proud of what you have. A Christian, don't be intimidated by the devil. Let me read the scriptures to you. I have about 10 minutes. I'll finish. Let's read together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If anyone says, you know, there's too much regulation in that church, it's because Satan wants to rob them. If the church is preaching holiness and someone says holiness is too regulatory, you know, they still want to have joints and enjoy the world. Yeah, you know, Satan is beating drum and you are dancing. And dancing to Batasha Go. I'm telling you, every dance is invoked spirit, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's why when we worship God, Holy Spirit comes and people are healed. People see vision. And where you worship Satan, demons come and do what? Afflict people. Look at what that scripture says. Shall we read it together, please? Prima facie. Would it again together, please? If that's all you have in the Bible, some people will be saying to you that, but in the world they dress now. In the world we have culture now. Why are you saying that we shouldn't live in the world anymore? All right? But you know, God is very, very wise God. The only wise God. He doesn't leave you to look for implied terms in this matter. He expressed also himself, qualified what he said, and expressed it so that we'll be without any doubts in interpretation of these statutes. Look at what he says in the next verse. What is the world? For everything. Cravens. You see what he says? So to distinguish between what he's saying about the world, he's not talking about your car. If God blesses you, have a good car, it's God. You know, you have a beautiful home, it's God's blessing. You dress well, you appear good, he bless you. He's not talking about that. Of course, as long as what you're wearing covers your nakedness, you know,
If God loves nakedness, he would not have sown, animal skin to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. Really, Adam and Eve too recognized when they were naked, they would try to look for a fix. And when God came, he changed that to something better. Listen to me. Anything contrary to that is from the devil. How you can know people who are under the influence of Satan and people who are under the influence of God is just that, by the fruits. If you look at that scripture, it says, the cravings of sinful nature, the loss of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. And verse 17 concluded and said, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God. I submit to you, the will of God is the word of God. It's black and white. There's no controversy about it. We don't come to church to tell church what they should teach us. Unless we go to the church where they will say that, the Father will do it for you. Say amen, amen. 10 of you here, I'm hearing. 1,000 naira, 1,000 pounds, 1,000 pounds, 1,000 pounds. And the more you give, the more prophecy. That is a devil church. The church where God tells them what you give is of the devil. Because the Bible says, where you give as you have decided. That's the reason why they say to you that God said they should bring in 500 pounds and then they go to 100 pounds, they go to 5 pounds. Can you see God? Their God is a variable God. He's the devil, not the God of Christians. Listen to me. The status of God is simple. So now, therefore, what's your part? Very quickly, go back to the mission statement now. And that's where we'll finish. And we'll continue on the mission statement next week. The purpose of this meeting is to help you know we have made up our mind to be the people God will use to change the United Kingdom. I can't hear you.
Yeah.
One of you will sit in 10 Downing Street.
Yeah.
The road is paved already for one of the youths in the next election. He's going to become an MP. He was raised here, bruised here. God spoke when he was 13. Now it's happening. I told you, if you follow the teachings I'm teaching you, there's no such a thing as your color is a barrier. We have disproved it. In England, this house have youths who are successful youths, breaking barriers all over the whole place. Breaking barriers. There's no such a thing that your color. It is what is inside you. The Spirit of the Most High. And so as a church, we have a mission statement. And the mission statement we have is demonstrating God's power through love and building overcomers for tomorrow. Okay? Demonstrating God's power through love and building overcomers for tomorrow. I will explain to you deep on this next Sunday. I was told it's Palm Sunday, so we're going to look at this very deeply. Go to the next verse. Yes, please. This is the structure of the church. God gave this to me many years ago, about 30 years ago. And in those days, you know, from the little knowledge we had, I was able to design this myself from Photoshop. It is a template of the structure of the church, which shows where you belong, branches belong, and our international operations also. It can be simulated. Remember at the beginning of this meeting, I was talking to you about governance and good governance. And I told you that an organization that have a good structure but bad policies, it brings stress. It brings stress. And good governance is a process by which an organization can ensure that they are running purposefully. And it connotes all these things that Jesus taught us in the scriptures. And we'll look at these details, then move to the next one. That's where what I want to really buttress on. CFT structure. Yes? A church formation, that's okay. No, go back. Just click it once and that's it. Stop there. That says, in church formation, the most important thing is to get the structure right. And I've shown you at the beginning of this meeting about Jesus, why he was, when he started in ministry in chapter 4 of Luke, and then in chapter 6, he put in structures. Because he prayed and got the 12. And then in chapter 9, having disciples there, he sent them out. And then in chapter 10, he got his 72, which is the church. And they sent them out too. And they did the same thing. And I told you, those who are involved with the primary governance and secondary governance, so that their organization, that's why the organization of Jesus Christ is the most successful on earth. No organization is 2,000 years old, but Jesus is the church of the living God. And industries are learning from the template of Jesus Christ to forge understanding. That is where they derive all the lectures on high-impact leadership and sustainable leadership. A leadership that set up something and it keeps going after the death of the leader till 2,000 years. You know, there's a lot to learn from him. I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I want to stop at Luke 4, 14, 28. But I will take you right through it next week. Luke 14, 28 says, suppose one wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down and estimate the cost? You leave this place today, sit down, evaluate your life before you see me next Sunday. If you look at this statement of Jesus Christ, are you not amazed? That Jesus did not say, suppose a man wants to build a room. He would have said, suppose a man wants to build a flat or a bungalow. But even in the time of Jesus, he was talking about skyscraper. And what that implies is this. You as a people must begin to think beyond your ability. And that is what is called a vision. Think beyond your ability. Listen to me. But then when you think beyond your ability and you get a vision, you must also recognize that you need to sit down and check what you have now and what you need to achieve that aim in life. And then that will instruct your prayer and also it will instruct your planning. And next week when we come back, we're going to look at our project for the next 1 year. And we're going to look at our project for the next 3 years. And our project for the next 5 years and a pointer to 10 years. If the whole world is talking about Project 2030 and the Church of God is not able to articulate that, then I think there's a problem. Are we together? And when we look at this project, we're going to see, you are going to see, which part do you play in that project? How your individual visions of your life, how the fulfillment of the vision of this house depend on the vision of your life. That is, when you succeed, this house succeeds. You know one of my terminologies? The testimony of this house is not complete until what? Until yours is added to it. Hallelujah. So that we can move together. What God has given us as a house will be achieved. Of course, you know this. If from a room, God achieved this for us and achieved other things in other parts of the world, and this house does not seek help from outside this house. No, we don't. We have never done fundraising in our life, and we shall not do one till we die. Everything that God gives us, it is in-house. He blesses those who are in-house, and we bring that forth. And that is my covenant with God, that God, I always pray, God, don't bring a millionaire here. You remember me, I do that? Come on, do I say that? Yes, don't bring me a millionaire, but make millionaires from this house so that nobody will come and tell me a story that we are the one who funded you. I don't need fund of anybody. That's on television. I've never asked for fund. Over years, you're on television. And we are still on television. We are on television. We don't ask for fund. We are not beggars. And we don't spend 3 hours talking about offering at all. When it's offering time, everybody knows you should give. And we give because we are blessed. And we give by our own volition. And God blesses us. And that is the Bible way. I don't see anything different from that. Anything that God did not send us, we don't get involved. But if God sends us, He makes the provision. And we are confident the provision will come. So we're going to look into our next focus for the next year, and you will look at your part in that focus. And I'm sure that something is waiting for you. I say something is waiting for you. Heaven will visit you. Within the next 12 months that we do anniversary again, your story will change. I mean, it will change for better. God has spoken, earth will respond. God has spoken, your life will respond. Everything God has spoken to us in the convention, they are yours. They will manifest over your life. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. Your kneading trough shall be blessed. Your body shall be blessed. Your spirit shall be filled with blessing. Your mind shall be blessed. Your bones and organs shall receive refreshing from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. If anybody carries sickness in their body, I command your body to be healed in the name of Jesus. Rebuke every evil spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I loose those who are bound in the name of Jesus Christ. According to the word of the Lord, the Bible says, and the time will come, the top of the mountain of the Lord shall be made visible. In this season, God will make you visible. In your office, you'll be relevant. In your career, you'll be relevant. The Lord will breathe upon your brain and your mind. It will bring you to the heights that you have never seen. In meeting with the new dispensation of God upon the face of the earth for the church of the living God on earth, you will be relevant. Yes. I know that Satan buffeted, but there is a power that is above the devil. The power that created him that dwells in you, he will extinguish every fiery dart of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. According to the word of the Lord, it says, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I plan it shall be, as I purpose it shall stand, the plans of God for you shall be established. The purpose of which God gave you birth in the United Kingdom, or brought you to be established in this nation, it shall be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. You shall be head and not be tail. You will succeed in everything you lay your hands on. Holy Spirit will direct your mind to the things that you should do, to the things that you lay your hands on, and provisions shall be made available before the vision comes. Your eyes shall be open to see to the realm of the Spirit, and your mind shall conceive by the knowledge of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.